Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And hello, everyone. It's nice to be with you here on Home and Family Finance. I appreciate you taking the time to join us for the next hour as we talk about things that we think are important in your life. We took a few weeks off, as you may have figured out, and we are pleased to be back in the saddle again. And as we always do, we start with that one big question. Are you financially fit? That's the purpose of the show, to give you the answers to those questions that arise about your financial fitness. And let me just remind you of a couple of things that we always do, and that is, have you put aside some money? Have you done the right thing in terms of your pocketbook? Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? Do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings account? Add up all of your expenses, mortgage, rent, utilities, food and drink, clothes, everything. And the monthly total, whatever that is, put that amount away for 6 months. You don't have to do it all at once, but just gradually get that in your bank account untouched until you have 6 months. Now, why do you do that? Well, you figure it out. Something happens. It always does. This way, you're able to know that you're going to survive. You can pay your expenses for 6 months. It just makes perfect sense. And it can be in an interest-bearing account, but the money is not to be touched unless something untoward happens to you and your family. I also want you to put aside 3 months of emergency funds. Now, this account is for what happens other than a loss of your monthly or annual income. How many times have you said or heard, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Well, okay, it could happen to you, the kids, whoever. Put this aside, and this is money that you can spend if, in fact, there is an emergency, but only in an emergency, okay? It's not your survival funds. Those are untouchable. Your emergency funds you can touch. And finally, are you saving at least 5% of everything you make? 5% of your weekly or monthly income, every payday, pay yourself first. Put aside 5% of that income. Protect yourself. And protecting yourself is what we're going to start with today, because you probably by now have heard of the Equifax data breach. What to do? Am I impacted by this? I've gotten more calls from people saying, how do I know whether I'm affected by this? Well, there is a way to know. And joining us now is Ben Rossen. He's a senior attorney with the FTC Division of Privacy and Identity Protection. This agency, the FTC, is there for you. Their purpose is to protect you in many, many ways. Ben, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the program.
Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for having me.
I just imagine that the breach, the Equifax data breach, and I want you to explain to our audience what has happened, who they are, and look, 143, 150 million people? This is just amazing. What kind of reaction have you all received there?
Sure. I mean, this is one of the largest breaches that's occurred in recent times. So with 143 million people, that potentially affects, you know, most of the adult population of the United States. So we've certainly heard from many consumers who are upset about the news and want to know what to do to protect themselves. And as the nation's consumer protection agency, we've been issuing guidance to consumers over the last week as well as pursuing our own investigation of Equifax to determine what happened.
And if you have a credit report, folks, there's a good chance that you're one of the 143 million American consumers whose sensitive information, personal information, financial information was exposed in this data breach at Equifax. Now, they are one of the nation's three major credit reporting agencies. How has this affected the other agencies, if at all?
Well, I probably can't speak specifically to the other agencies, but obviously there's a lot of pressure coming on all three of them to ensure that they're securing people's information. You know, these agencies hold the most sensitive data of, you know, all of the consumers in the U.S. You're not their customer. You don't have a choice whether they have your data or not. Pretty much anyone who's got a credit card or has any kind of a mortgage or any sort of account, you know, the credit agencies have that information, and it's necessary for you to get credit. So obviously, this information is very sensitive, and I know there's going to be a lot of people looking just to make sure that they're taking the proper steps. Here at the FTC, what we do as a civil law enforcement agency, we enforce a number of laws, including the FTC Act, that make sure that companies are taking reasonable steps to secure personal information that's been entrusted to them. So we've publicly announced that we are investigating Equifax. I can't really talk about it beyond that, but right. We're going to be closely looking to make sure that they do have the procedures in place to protect the information that they hold.
Okay, when we come back, what I want to ask this question is, what can we do? I want you to tell my audience what they need to do in order to protect themselves. This is a big deal, folks. Don't think it isn't a big deal. It is, and you are most likely, we're talking about 143 million Americans, you are most likely affected. As you just heard Ben say, if you have a credit card, chances are your information was breached. When we come back, we'll ask Ben to tell you what you need to do to make sure that you are properly protected. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Back with Ben Rossum, who is the senior attorney with the FTC's Division of Privacy and Identity Protection. We're talking about Equifax, and we're talking about the data breach that has affected more than 140 million people. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't do anything wrong, but I'll tell you, something could be wrong with your account, and you need to check it out. Ben, explain to my audience what they must do. First of all, it is a big deal, isn't it? And what should they do?
Consumers should take this seriously. This is some of the most sensitive information that's been exposed, and we don't know exactly who may have it at this point, but it's important that consumers take steps to protect themselves from the risk of identity theft. So as of now, the only way to find out whether you have been potentially impacted is to go to the website that Equifax has created, EquifaxSecurity2017.com, where you can try to find out if you've been impacted by the breach. Now, we've heard that there have been some problems with people using the site. As of now, for all we know, that's the only way to go if you want to find out if you've been impacted. But the reality is, with so many people whose information has been exposed in the breach, you should probably just assume that your information is out there. And what's really important for consumers to do is to take the steps that you can to protect yourself now, before anything happens with somebody misusing your information. So what does that mean? There's a few different things that you can do. We definitely recommend that you request your credit report from all three of the major agencies. That's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can do that for free once a year if you go to annualcreditreport.com. That's the official website that you can go in and get your credit reports once a year without any charge.
Okay, Ben, hold on, because I want people, I know what they're trying to write this down. The first email address that you gave us to check to see if you've been compromised. Give that to us again, slowly, if you will, so people can write it down.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is EquifaxSecurity2017.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. And then you just said you could also go where for your report?
Yeah, to get a copy of your report, you can go to annualcreditreport.com. And there you can request your report from each of the three agencies. Strongly recommend you do that. Look mm-hmm. it over closely, because if there's things on there that you don't recognize, that could be a sign that somebody is using your information.
Okay, and how much is that going to cost me to get the report from each agency?
It's free so long as you go to annualcreditreport.com. That's the official portal where you can get all three of them for free one time a year.
Okay, so no reason not to do this in terms of cost. There is none. This is just a matter of sitting down and taking care of your business.
Absolutely.
All right. It says, yes, you were breached. You've gotten your three reports. You've gone to the three agencies and gotten your... What next?
So the next thing that you could consider is placing a credit freeze with the three agencies. Now, what a credit freeze means is that you're locking your credit. Nobody can open a new account in your name, not even you. So it's important to consider, if you know you're going to need access to credit soon, like you're going to get a mortgage or you're going to get a new car loan, you may want to wait before putting the freeze in place. But the credit freeze is the best way to prevent anybody from opening a new account using your information.
Who do I put that freeze in? What do I do? How do I put a freeze in, and for how long?
So to put in a freeze, you have to call each of the three major bureaus, and you can do that at phone numbers through their website, or in some cases, I believe you can do it online. In light of the recent Equifax breach, we've heard complaints from consumers who have been having some trouble getting through because I think they're under a lot of volume with a lot of people placing a freeze.
They are.
But we recommend that you take the steps to do it. You may have to be a little patient, but it's probably worth it. Now, with a credit freeze, if you're going to need credit, you can lift the freeze. You get a PIN number or a password that they'll give to you, which you should keep in a safe place.
Okay.
And you can use that to lift the freeze and get access to credit.
How long will the freeze last?
So the freeze will last, I think it varies from one state to another, but the freeze should last for as long as you have it in place.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Equifax has said that they're giving free credit freezes through November 21st.
Okay. But wait a minute. Ben, why do I have to do all this? I'll just wait for Equifax to call me.
Well, you definitely shouldn't wait for Equifax to call you. In fact, if you get a call from somebody who's claiming to be Equifax, chances are it's a scam. Equifax is not going to call you. If they communicate with you at all, it's probably going to be by postal mail, letting you know that you might have been part of the breach. But they're not going to give you a phone call and ask you for any information over the phone.
Ben, if I need more information on all of this, how do I reach out to you guys?
Sure. Well, you can go to our website at ftc.gov. We have a consumer blog that's full of information, and that's at consumer.ftc.gov. If you think you've been a victim of identity theft, you can go to identitytheft.gov, and there's a ton of helpful information there that can help you figure out all of the different steps that you need to take to protect yourself. It'll help you put together a personalized plan based off of the kinds of identity theft that you might be experiencing, and can give you some really helpful tips about what to do next.
Ben Rossin, we love you. We thank you so much because this makes a big difference to the lives of my listeners. Thank you so much. Come back and see us again, would you please?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Pleasure.
Coming up next, millennials talk to us, and then a lovely lady talks about elephants and straws. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. We're talking about, are you financially fit, and what does it take to make sure that you are? You know, what we have found out is that young people today are not doing some of the things that their parents have done. For instance, they don't have life insurance, and they're not really sure about how they're going to invest. But investing is important, and investing now and starting now, I don't care whether you're 20 or 30 or 40, you ought to be. As a matter of fact, just very recently on one of the programs, I think it was Good Morning Washington or not, it was the CBS Morning Show, and one of the hosts pointed out that she has been saving since 25 or so, and she has over $100,000 in her savings, folks. You've got to save. I just can't emphasize that. I'm an example of what happens when you don't. We pay a price for that. One of the people that knows that better than anybody else around is my very own son, Paul Hunter Jackson Berry. He is now an advisor, an investment advisor for Vanguard Financials, which is up in Paoli, I think it is. Paoli, where is that, Al? Where is that? Well, he's right here. We can ask him. Welcome to the show. Hi, Paul Hunter Jackson.
Hey, Dad. It's great to be back on Home and Family Finance.
Well, it's always nice to have you. Tell Al where that is, would you?
Yeah, so Vanguard's home campus is located outside of Philadelphia, near Paoli or Valley Forge, not too far away from Philly.
Yeah, okay. How did that work? Did you used to catch a train from there? What were you doing?
I slept under a bench at the train station.
That's Al Peterson, our engineer, who always has a story to tell and an interesting career. And by the way, is as much as an announcer as he is an engineer and did his own show. So he has every right to talk, and he's been with me now for over 10 years. Thank you, Al. I really appreciate you. You're a pal.
I could use a new bench.
Well, we'll work on the bench. Okay. In the meantime, I have a great son, and I want to share. You know, folks, sometimes the best part of what I do is right in front of me. I'm living it, and I fail to see that. But during our little time off, I recognized it. I've got tons of people calling me every day, emailing me with all kinds of stories. That's not a problem. But sometimes when you live something, then you understand the importance of taking care of business. Paul has had difficulty, and if I may, because of his student loans, it's impacted us in terms of his ability to get credit, through no fault of his own. But that's just the way it is, and we want to try to have you avoid that. Paul, let's talk a little bit about investing, and from the standpoint of what you think when we talk about investments. What are you talking about here? What are we, when we're saying to young people invest, what are we suggesting that they do?
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a really good point, because I, like almost everybody my age, 25-year-old, has some student loans. Paying them off is incredibly important, but it doesn't mean that you can't also be investing for your future at the same time. It doesn't matter if you're putting away $20, $50, $100 a month, whatever you can spare, the sooner you get that invested, the better it's going to be for you in the long run. And that's a little bit what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay, well, go ahead. What are we talking about? Whatever the sum is, okay, you've gotten my attention, says the millennial listening to you. But so I've got, here's 50 bucks, man. So what do I do with this $50?
Okay, so first and foremost, when we're talking about investing, we're thinking that the first thing that you should be putting your money towards, doesn't matter if you're 20, doesn't matter if you're 30, 40, or 50, is actually going to be into retirement accounts. An IRA is something that people talk a lot about. Individual retirement account is what that stands for. And anybody can open that if they are no longer a minor. If they are legally an adult, you can open your account. It's a little intimidating. People don't necessarily know what to do with it. But more and more we're finding there's plenty and plenty of good, easy investments that are specifically tailored to your retirement goals. If you're planning on retiring in 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it may be.
How do I find them,
easier.
Paul?
You can find them. Almost every major financial institution is going to be offering them. You'll hear them called target retirement funds. They are mutual funds, and really what that means is that they are, instead of buying one stock or buying a bond or buying three stocks, you're buying thousands, hundreds and thousands of stocks and bonds that are balanced in a way that is aggressive enough to meet your goals, hopefully, but also diverse enough to limit potential loss. That's the whole idea of really diversified investing. That's the kind of thing that you can get from target retirement funds and things along those lines.
And I think what people don't understand is the importance of investing, because you start to accumulate a whole lot of money, and you can. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with Paul Hunter Jackson, an investment advisor at Vanguard Financial, about what you should do. Starting now, folks, not when you're, I'll wait till I'm 30. Don't do that. Start putting money away right now every time you can. When we come back, we'll talk more with Paul Berry. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
I think it's very obvious why you can figure it out, folks. You don't have to be a financial genius to know that the earlier you start saving, the more money you're going to save, and the more money you're going to have at the time you're ready to retire. And let me tell you something. Retirement, there's no age that you have to begin. You can retire at 40 if you put your money, if you've invested wisely, 50, 60, 70, or when you don't feel like working anymore. So just keep that in mind. But in order to do that, you have to be financially fit to do so. My guest is Paul Hunter Jackson Berry. Paul, I called you, I think, explain your role at Vanguard Financial. What are you, and what does it take to be, say, an advisor, for instance?
Absolutely. No, a really good point, because I'm an investment broker, an investment professional, so to speak. And that means that I've gone through certain financial licensing and qualifications that allows me to give guidance, that allows me to explain the industry things, you know, tell people what a stock versus a bond is, help them to find maybe a suitable investment. But the difference is that there's also people who have to go through even more strenuous testing, people who specifically are going to be certified financial planners. Those are the people who are going to be advisors and who are going to tell you what you should do based on their understanding of your situation, as opposed to helping you just understand what your situation is.
So are you headed in that direction? I mean, if you continue with the job that you're in and your training, would you eventually become a certified financial advisor?
Yeah, that's I'm hoping to get there someday. In the meanwhile, a lot of financial firms like Vanguard, like Fidelity, so on and so forth, they do have investment professionals like me who are learning the business, who are happy to talk with you without any cost and explain things. But a lot of us, our goal is to become eventually a certified financial planner, and this is how you do it.
What do I need to know, Paul? What does anyone need to know? What do young people need to know, those who are just starting, to be effective and successful investors?
Right. This gets to the heart of why it's so important to invest early. Compound interest. You know, it's a scary word. I think a lot of people use it, but not everybody knows what it means. Really simply, it is interest that's calculated both on the principal of the money you're investing and the interest that has been accumulated during previous periods of deposit. So in other words, it's interest on your interest. The more money you make, the more it will be returning. That is what is so important about getting money into these retirement accounts, like a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. They are tax protected and they offer tax deferred growth. And that means that when you have realized gain, when you have, let's say your $500 investment has grown to $750 and you want to sell it to make sure that you realize that gain. In a non-retirement account, you have to pay taxes on that money you've earned. In a non-retirement account, you have to pay those taxes. In a retirement account, like a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, those taxes are deferred, and you don't have to keep having Uncle Sam taking money out of what you're earning, right? So that is a huge benefit. And as you could probably guess, if you start putting money away earlier, it's going to give a lot more time for that money to grow and to compound.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for.
And let me just say this, because you, in the simplest of terms, I understand what you're talking about. But it occurs to me that what you really want to do at some point is to have a professional assist you and advise you. Is that wise?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I was saying earlier, right now, most institutions have somebody you can call in and talk to at least start getting it. That's one of my favorite things about working at Vanguard so far, is the fact that I get to talk to people every day and explain the basics so that they leave the conversation feeling more comfortable with what their situation is. Now, as your financial situation becomes more complex, that's where advisors can really step in, help tell you what to do, help give you that guidance that can, you know, take you from getting along to really creating a successful, educated and informed plan. That's advisors. You know, almost every company is going to have a competitive, low-cost advisor, the major ones these days. The industry is moving in that direction, and it's a really, really good thing because advisors can add a lot of value to your saving and your investments.
So, Paul, how rich do I have to be? How wealthy do I have to be? How much money do I have to make to start investing?
That's a really good question. You know, if you only have $1,000 to your name, you're probably going to need that money to pay for things immediately. You maybe should not be investing it. It depends on the situation, as always. But if you are having steady income, as soon as you can start tucking away money for retirement, it will really benefit you. You can even, let's say you want to start looking out for your child, you can open up an IRA in a minor's name and contribute it to them. So there's never too young of an age. It's more about your situation. And when you can comfortably sacrifice, again, $20, $50, $100, whatever it may be, get it in there, get it to start working for you. And you know, there's plenty of resources to help educate and help you get that money invested.
If you can, and I know it's a general question, but I'm trying to motivate young people, and not only young people. If you're making some money, save some money. What are the most common mistakes we make that we should look out for if we're thinking about investing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people starting out might be attracted to say, hey, you know, I want to buy some stock. That's a good way to start growing my money, right? And while that is true to a point, if you're buying one individual stock, there can be a lot of risk associated with that. Let's say you buy Apple and something awful happens, you know, CEO steps down, there's a big scandal, that stock's going to take a hit. And all of a sudden, the money that you've invested in, you're so excited about, could really take a tumble, could be halved, could be, you know, cut a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're investing in something like a mutual fund, something diversified and balanced, you're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of assets in that fund. So if one has a bad day, odds are one is going to have a good day and balance it out, right? That's the whole idea. And I think a lot of people, which is great, are starting to understand that and moving away from putting all their money maybe on one stock. As always, it's specific to the situation, but generally speaking, the more diverse, the more balanced you can be, the less risk you're putting yourself at as a young investor.
Okay. If I want to know more about that, how can I reach out to Vanguard or any? How do I reach out to you and say, look, give me some assistance here? Do you have a number or a web address or an email address?
Yeah, absolutely. With young people especially, we know that they may not want to call and talk to us. Get on the web. Go to Vanguard.com. We have tons of things under investment guidance and investor education where we break it down really simply. If you're still curious, give us a call. It doesn't cost anything to talk with somebody, to ask a question, to understand your situation. That's what we're here for. And we really are focusing on trying to grow our consumer education, you know, trying to advance financial literacy as well.
Paul, it's a pleasure talking with you here on Home and Family Finance. Yes, in fact, it's just a family thing. But you know what? It's always a family thing, folks, in some form or fashion. You're saving for yourself, you're for your family. You're saving for your future. And what Paul has told us here is the importance of making sure whatever you do, save. And when you get to the point where you think it's important, get some professional help. We thank you very much for joining us here on the show, my friend. I am very proud. I'm very proud of you. I do know you, and I'm happy for you in terms of your role there at Vanguard Financial. When we come back, Paul was born to a beautiful woman who's sitting across from me, known as my wife, and she's got a thing or two to say too. It is indeed a family affair. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
As I said at the beginning of the program, this is a family show today, and I meant that. I mean, obviously what we talk about with you every week are issues that affect us, all of us, in our homes and our families, our finances. We just don't have all the answers. Some of us have never learned all of the answers, and others have forgotten because we haven't put them into place. But this the purpose of the program is to make it easy for you to find the answers without feeling embarrassed, without having to go anyplace else, except kind of stay within the family. And what I learned this past few weeks while I was taking a few weeks off, was how I overlooked the family, my family, who have issues that concern them that, just like you, we live with them every day. Last week or week before, Amy and I, my wife Amy and I, we live in Eastern Maryland. We were at one of our favorite water holes called Brightwell's, and we were talking, and we were talking with the bartender because we're sitting at the bar having a little special lunch, and it was very good. And Amy at some point said to her, "Only one straw, only want one straw, and I hope you have a paper straw." And she didn't. She gave us a plastic straw. And at that point, the lady said something, the bartender said something to my wife, and my wife said something where she said, "Well, you know, every, I don't know, week, every day, 440 million, 500 million straws are tossed."
Every day.
Now, Amy's across from me. Please, say hello to Amy, Amy Berry. Amy, say hello to the audience, would you?
Hi, everybody.
That's it. And so she says, How many straws are thrown away every day?
500 million straws are thrown away every day just by Americans.
Okay, now wait a minute. When she said that, Al, I'm sitting there and I looked over and I said, you don't mean 500 million straws. I said, you got to be kidding. No way you mean 500 million straws. She said, yes, 500 million.
Yes, and we made a bet.
Yeah, we did. It cost me dinner because then I went and we went to Google. Thank God for Google. Yeah. And what did we find out?
500 million drinking straws are thrown away every day. The amazing thing is they have just started the awareness of how much plastic that is going into our landfills and our oceans. These plastics don't break down for 200 to 400 years. So the impact on society is really quite tremendous. And it's a petroleum byproduct that we're using these plastic straws are being made out of. So we really do need to go for other options other than the plastic straws.
500 million straws a day.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, what's the total, what's the annual, what is it?
So 365 times 500 million, which is mind-boggling.
And these straws, if you will, plastic,
yes,
which it takes 200 to 400 years to break down. Where do they go?
They go into landfills. Some of them actually are incinerated. Well, that means that they're releasing toxic chemicals into the air. The majority go into landfills, and unfortunately, you know, where a lot of our plastics from landfills end up going into our waterways and going into the oceans. So wildlife is affected. Everything is affected by the plastic being thrown away.
Yeah. Well, what happens when these plastics get into the oceans or into water? Or mm-hmm. What happens to it?
We have floating islands that are, one in the Pacific Ocean is actually the size of Maryland, floating with garbage, plastic bags, straws, plastic bottles, water bottles being thrown away. And then they're ingested by our sea life. And unfortunately, it kills them.
Of course it does.
They don't have a chance.
They cannot live if they ingest these things. Right. And they do. And this is happening every day.
Yes.
Amazing numbers, right. Just amazing numbers. Why do we have plastic straws in the first place?
You know, I think that it became, they originally were started out being made by rye or straw. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Where their word straw came from. I think we just.
Is that why we call it a straw?
Yes.
Because they came from straw.
Yeah. As they became more modernized, we use plastic for everything now. It's a throwaway, and I use the air quotes for that. It's not. It affects us for hundreds of years, and we've got to stop doing it. But there are other options. So there are lots of campaigns that are springing up that are actually trying to get the public aware of what we're doing, 500 million a day. So
that's amazing. When we come back, we'll talk more about that, and we'll also talk about elephants, those big old elephants. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I am your host, Paul Berry, along with my wife of all people, who's never done this before, Amy Berry. But she has issues that in our family are concerning. Number one, straws. The number of straws that go out of every 500 million straws in the U.S. alone are dumped. 500 million, folks. But there are agencies now, not unlike Amy, that are trying to fight this. Talk to us about that.
Right. There are resistance groups, and one is called One Less Straw, and it starts October 1st, and you sign up, and you're basically being accountable. Every straw that you accidentally use, you have to pay into a fund that will get donated to your school to promote environmental education.
Okay.
So what you want to do is you want to get your local restaurants and bars and everywhere you go, you want to tell them, I don't want plastic straws. I don't use them. I don't want them to be used. You request that they don't use them and ask them to use something other than plastic. There are bamboo, there are paper, there are things that are biodegradable that can be usable.
Just drink out of the side of the glass.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's also another thing called the last plastic straw, and that urges restaurants and bars to make a change in their policy. And that is, you only use straws when your customers request them.
Okay. Are those email sites or anything?
I don't have them, but it's one less straw and the last plastic straw.
Okay, so but what you're really suggesting is all of us can stop this by just simply saying, I don't need a straw.
Yeah.
And we can get rid of it. Okay. We could do a lot more on that, but I want to get to the other topic that is of importance to you. My wife is a lover of elephants. I guess we all love elephants to some degree, or we're fascinated by them. But she takes it a step further. She's actually working on saving elephants. There are two types of elephants, I think you told me, Asian and
African.
Go ahead.
So we have a lot more African elephants on the planet. Africa is a lot bigger than Asia, or at least where the elephants are. I'm more familiar with the battle in Thailand because of our connection with our son being there. And the Asian elephants, the elephants that are in Thailand and Cambodia and Myanmar right now, are down to about 1,500 to 2,000 in the wild.
The whole thing, in all three areas, only 2,000.
In Asia.
Yeah, right.
In the wild. And then there are about 1,500 to 2,000 that are being domesticated, is what they use the term as. And they were used for logging. They're used in entertainment, and they're used for rides. So there are some great places that are right now trying to rescue these elephants and give them a life that they should have had, which is free and in the wild.
Are they threatened? The species threatened?
Horribly by poaching in Africa. In Africa, the current yearly loss in Africa is estimated at 8%, which is 27,000 elephants are slaughtered year after year after year.
And why do they slaughter these elephants? What are they looking for?
For ivory. An elephant tusk weighs somewhere between 51 to 99 pounds, depending on the size of the tusk, and it can be 5 to 8 feet long. And some people can get as much as $1,500 per pound for ivory. And China has a tremendous thirst for ivory right now, for carving little trinkets,
only for that reason. I mean, it's not for life saving.
No, nope.
Just because they want to make a trinket,
right?
They kill an elephant, and some. The numbers are phenomenal. What can we do about it? What are you doing about it?
I think the biggest thing we need to do right now is to make the public aware that our elephants on the planet are disappearing at a tremendously fast rate, and that if we don't do something immediately, we won't have any elephants left. And a zoo's not an option. Those are not elephants in the wild. So we need to support the rescue sanctuaries that we have. There are a couple in Thailand, especially Elephant Nature Park, ENP, in Chiang Mai, and Lek Shalert is the woman who started it in 1990. She just recently opened, about a year ago, another rescue sanctuary down in Phuket, which is the south of Thailand. And if you offered to rescue an elephant or to sponsor an elephant for a year, it can cost around $99 to sponsor an elephant, and that pays for their food, for their medication, for shelter. It also, if you can give them money, it pays for more acreage, so you can rescue more elephants.
Wonderful. Email address for anybody?
No, but Lek Shalert is Elephant Nature Park in Chiang Mai and in Phuket. And she's the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amy Berry. So it is a family affair. It is a family thing, folks. And we thank you for being with us. We hope you've enjoyed the program. A little bit different, but no less important in many, many ways. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Thank you, Al Peterson. Thank you, Amy Berry. And we'll see you next week.